Well, we've begun a new section in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at how the Lord has equipped his church with gifts through his Spirit to build and minister the body of Christ. Paul devotes three chapters to this subject. We remind ourselves of last week's sermon, Paul's opening to this section, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last week, we looked at the first three verses, and the things that we learned from those verses are these. One, I do not want you to be uninformed. This section of spiritual gifts is something that too often we overlook. It's something that we choose not to study in depth. Some do, many don't. Paul says this is important. We should know this stuff. Second, what we found is he begins by understanding that there is a leading, there's a movement that is not of the Spirit of God. There is something tangible, something real that moves us. You know, we've felt it. We've had a great song that moves our hearts. We've been in emotional situations where we've been physically moved, drawn to things. He wants to make sure that people understand there is a movement, a leading of people that's not of the Holy Spirit. And because there is a movement that's not of the Holy Spirit, he kind of moves into that third section, which says, you need to discern between the two. What is of the Holy Spirit, you can always understand it. You can discern it because the theme will always be Jesus is Lord. Jesus is lifted up. Jesus' commands are followed. Jesus is the theme. And you can tell when this movement is not of the Spirit, when Jesus is accursed, when Jesus' name is brought lower, when Jesus is filtered, when Jesus is put to the side. One of the easiest ways to discern between these two spirits. One keeps Christ as the focus, a name above all. One moves Christ out of focus, lowers his name. And so this morning, what I want you to remember as we come into the next few verses is that Paul is responding to the Corinthians' questions or comments that are on this subject. And although we aren't given the questions, we can discern what the issues were that were plaguing the church in Corinth. We can understand what it was that they were struggling with. One, the people had put too high of a value, too much of a priority on the extraordinary gifts. They thought that was the thing that everyone should be striving for, the extraordinary gifts. The ones that are visible, the ones that are loud, the ones that are supernatural. Instead of building up the body, they were tearing apart unity because there were those in the church that were spiritual, some that were super spiritual, and there were some who weren't experiencing these extraordinary gifts, and so in them there was resentment, there was envy, there was exclusivity, there was pride. You can see how these things would start to happen. The other thing we know of is that these gifts were used selfishly. The focus was on the gift. Or the focus was on the gifted, when in reality, the focus should be on the gifter, the one who gives the gifts. The focus was on how it made them feel. The focus was on how it raised their own personal standing in the congregation. Those were wrong. Lastly, there was an extreme focus on tongue speaking as the pinnacle of giftedness, the gift above all gifts. We're going to be dealing with that a lot in chapter 14. The idea is that Paul is responding to this misuse, this misunderstanding of God's gifting to the church through his Spirit. That's what he's addressing in these three chapters. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. We'll read verses 1 to 13. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, And to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open up your word this morning, how I pray that you'd give light to your pages. How I pray that we would hear your voice. That we would understand the things that you desire us to know. That we might put these into practice. That we might learn better how to love one another. How to serve one another in your church. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to stay true to Paul's context. We've all spent many weeks now, probably 35, 40 weeks together in Corinthians. He's got a mode, doesn't he? You're starting to understand Paul and how he teaches and how he brings out truth. So we're going to stay true to his context, true to his mode. He's making a point here in chapter 12. Now there is subnotes, there's sidelines, there's other things that you can extrapolate from this text. And I will tell you that it fills debate halls for thousands of years. The areas that are up for debate, those areas that are up to argument, that cause great divisions in the church. What's sad is in chapter 12, you know, chapter 14 actually has some areas where we're going to see some divisions. Chapter 12 is not there. Chapter 12, the point is something very different. And so this morning I want you to be focused on what Paul's point is so that we don't get lost in the sidelines. We don't get lost in the subplot. Look at these verses, 4 to 6. Our main focus is going to be 4 to 6 today. There's varieties of gifts, same Spirit. There's varieties of service, same Lord. And there's varieties of activities, same God, who empowers them all in everyone. Right? That's something that you should almost kind of write to the side, something you should really understand to start to see this, because it's really kind of cool. We're going to open that up a little bit in just a minute. It's a really neat picture. First, God. Do you see the Trinity here at work in this section? It's not a place that you would preach the Trinity, but it's certainly a place where you see the Trinity at work. God, all persons working together towards one goal, one purpose, one will. The same Father, the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same Son, all working God's will to be done. And so our triune God is the one who does what? He gives the gifts. Not only does he give the gifts, look at verse 6. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them. This God empowers the gifts. You know what that means? It means it provides the energy and the power behind the gift. So not only does he give you the gift, he also provides the energy and the power behind the gift. Go to verse 11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually. He apportions the gifts. You know what that means? It means he assigns them. He allots them. Different gifts for different people. So we have a God who gives you gifts. We have a God who empowers the gifts. And we have a God who assigns the gifts. Look at verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in one body, each one of them as he chose. So he takes the gifts that he's given, that he's empowered, that he's assigned, and now these gifted, he arranges. He arranges the gifted in the church. He places them where he needs them. He puts them to where the need is. Look at verse 24. One of my favorite ones that are in this. Which are more presentable parts do not require, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. He composes the gifted and the gifts in the body. Is that a great one? It's a word that you can use sometimes as the architect or the composer, depending on what world is a better reference for you. If it's the architect, he basically is building the plans. He's building the structure that all of the gifts and all of the gifted are going to be working within in order to build up the church, in order to lift Christ high, in order to bring glory to God. If you're into music, think of him as the composer. He's the one that writes the score. Here's the point where I want loud horns. Here's the point where I want light flutes. Here's the point where I want it to be really strong and really loud. Here's the point where I want it really soft, really quiet. He puts it all together. He puts it into measures and he puts it into order. He says, here is my song. Here is my score. So our God is the composer of all of these gifts and all of the gifted in the church. Verse 28. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets. He goes through the whole thing. This last word is appointed. I love appointed, right? Because it's got time elements in it. He places the gifted into positions. He places the gifts and those that are gifted into situations. And he places them into schedules. I want you to start to see there's appointed times. So you start to see that he's gifting his people. He's empowering his people. He's assigning them into different locations. He's calling them to certain ministries. And then he's composing it all together. And then at the end, it's like, on time, now. On time, now. On time, now. And you start to see the gifts as this beautiful work of God in his church. What happened in Corinth was the people were looking at themselves. I want this gift. I want that gift. I want to do this. I want to do that. I'm going to speak in tongues. I'm going to go do healing. I'm going to go do this. And you get this selfish obsession with gifts. When in reality, you start to step back and go, no. He is the composer. He is the one who draws it together. It's his timing. It's his enabling. It's his empowerment. It's his assignment. And it's beautiful. From beginning to end, in every detail, God is at work in the church, in his people, composing, gifting, arranging, appointing, empowering, apportioning, that his will would be done in his spirit, through his son, for God's glory. If you get this down, you're not going to make a mistake with gifts. If you understand that truth, you're not going to get off onto error. The errors tend to move us away from God being the architect. It takes away from God being the one who gives the gifts, who empowers them, who appoints them. I want you, when you start to understand this in this light, now come back to the question, the things that are at hand over here in Corinth. Which gift is the most important? Doesn't that question sound stupid now? When you understand that God is the composer, it's his timing, it's his empowering, when it's time, when it's needed, I'll put it there, I'll put it in who I will, I'll call who I will to that situation, I'll put it to the right time, I'll bring it together for the good. Now it sounds stupid when someone says, well, what gift is the most important? You can see God just going, you don't get it. Should that guy be celebrated for that gift? Should that gifted person be lifted higher than the rest? It doesn't make sense in this picture. Is a large gift with lots of visibility more important than a small gift exercised precisely in the energy and timing and placement of God? You start to see, don't you? And if you see it, then we can begin to see the beauty and the power of God's gifting in his church. We start to see that he's bringing these spiritual things for our common good, for the sake of building up the church. And when we understand that, we don't envy the gifted anymore. Why? Because we're gifted too. We understand that there's big visible gifts and there's quiet, intimate gifts. And God uses both for his glory. Both are required in the church. And so it takes away envy. Oh, I wish I was that guy with that gift. I got stuck with this booby prize gift. Right? We start to understand this better. We don't classify the people into gifted camps, the gifted and the not so gifted. I love this. This is one of the things when I talk about the composer. When we understand this, we start to see God's composition. We start to appreciate in his composition when the horns blast. We love it when the quiet strings rise. We love it when everything goes quiet and we hear that lone flute solo. Sometimes it's so quiet you can hear the piccolo five. And in a composition, the loud parts are as beautiful as the quiet parts, aren't they? Each one has purpose. Each one has meaning. Each one draws us forward, and it's beautiful. Wow. Verses 4 to 6. Let's open them up a little bit more. Varieties of gifts and the same Spirit. What I want you to first understand is that word varieties. It means allotments, apportionments, distributions. Right? That's what it means. It means that these gifts have been allotted out. They're diverse. And they've been apportioned differently for every single believer. One of the things you're going to find as we get through this, every believer has been apportioned gifts. But each one in a different way. They're almost like fingerprints. Every single one is unique. And they are allotments, apportionments, distributions of charisma. That's the word. Charisma. Scary word for a lot of folks in many churches. The charisma. You know what charisma means? It's a compound word. Charis means grace. It's the gifts of grace. That's what charisma means. It's grace gifts. Edwards, I think, has the best definition, and he calls it divine enablements. It's worth writing down. Divine enablements. It means God gives specific power that's not your own for that service, for that ministry, for that time, for that moment, for that person. And sometimes it's a word of wisdom. Sometimes it's an encouraging word. Sometimes it's a touch on the back of a shoulder. Sometimes it's just being present. Sometimes it's opening your house. Sometimes you start to think, we always think of this classification of gifts. When we start to understand this section more fully, we understand divine enablements. Things that come from outside of yourself that the Lord enables for us to love each other better, serve each other more, build up the church to unity and glory to Him. So this charisma, divine enablements, I want you to understand they're not talents. These aren't abilities. Too often people say, well, what are your gifts? Well, look at your talents, and usually your gifts are going to come out of that. I don't believe that. Talents and abilities are given both to believers and non-believers. There are some very talented people that have wonderful abilities to sing, to minister, to do all these different things. It's wonderful when they use them for the Lord in service. But gifting is something different. Gifting is a gift of grace. It's for believers. It's for ministry in the body. It comes when it's needed. It comes as it's needed. It comes from the Lord, and the Spirit determines how much, when, who, how, where. He's the one who apportions and drives it, not us. So the Spirit allots and distributes this variety of gifts to every believer, not just once at salvation. That's the other thing. People go on this journey to find their own gifts. I want to know what my gifts are. You know what the problem is that is you start to say, well, these are my three gifts. People will ask you for service, or service opportunities will arise. And you'll be like, oh, that's not my gifted area. So we turn our back to it. I believe very strongly, one of the things that Pastor Cecil shared with me is I said, man, I was reading Hudson Taylor. And I said, I don't ever want to have that kind of faith. Right? If you ever read the book, horrible stuff just happens to him. And his faith keeps getting stronger and stronger as this horrible stuff keeps happening to him. And I said, I don't want that kind of faith. I said, I know I don't have that kind of faith right now. You know what Pastor Cecil said? He goes, it's because you don't need it right now. See, the Lord's gifts come when they're needed. They're on appointment. And so our faith rises when it's needed. When we have these acts of mercy, when we have these acts of kindness, we might not be every day a kind person. And if you're not a kind person, don't you know when the Spirit's moving in you and all of a sudden you realize, wow, I was just kind to that person. That was a divine enablement. The Holy Spirit just gifted you outside of your natural ability in order to minister to someone else. You start to see how different it is, how unique it is, how special it is. I want to stay with Paul. I have a side note here. It's like I said it earlier. It's like fingerprints. Each believer is gifted uniquely for the specific needs that they're going to satisfy in the church, in the ways that God deems right in line with who you are, on the timing that was set by his watch, at the locations that he has arranged beforehand, for his purposes, in his will, to his glory. Boy, if you could memorize that and have that in your back pocket, it's a great way to go, isn't it? Wow, I've been gifted uniquely, each one of you. Some of you have told me, you know, I didn't get any gifts. You know, when God must have ran out the day I got saved, I didn't have any gifts. I'm going to tell you, you're wrong. Every single one of you has been gifted for the specific needs that this church has for you, in the ways that God deemed right with regard to who you are, on the timing that's set by his watch, at the location he's arranged beforehand, for his purposes, in his will, for his glory. You start to see gifts in a different way, don't you? This is what Paul is bringing out. So the question I ask for you this morning, first question that comes out of this, what types of gifts has the Spirit allotted to you? Has he given you a few, or has he given you a lot? Are they those that you've been able to list and categorize from the list that we get from the church sometimes, or do you have gifts that are off the list? I'll tell you this morning, one of the things as I was preparing, I trust that you have not identified all the gifts that God has given you. You know why? They haven't been needed yet. I'll tell you, this church needs every single one of you to be ready, to be alert, to be able to be used by God at his timing when he needs you. And he will empower you, he will equip you, he will enable you to give what he needs you to give in this church. There's days ahead that we don't know that are coming. And I know that he's given us everything we need to build and to grow and to bring glory to him. And guess what? How many of you are needed in this family, in this body? Every single one of you. Each one of you plays a role in this body. You don't just get to sit back and watch. I get nervous when people spend too much time determining their gift, because then they list it, they live by it, and they avoid service outside that area. And quite frequently, they're mislabeling their talents and abilities and predilections or areas of preference for gifts. No, gifts are given to believers by the Spirit, different than talents, grace gifts, divine enablements. So, the Holy Spirit gives us different types of gifts. Verse 5. Now there's varieties of ministries and the same Lord. Look at this. So varieties again, appointed, assigned, called to, enlisted. So you've been called to, you've been appointed for, you've been assigned. This word for ministries means services, ministries, works. So for the Lord Jesus, he's called you to certain ministries, certain services, certain activities, certain work to be done in the church. The Holy Spirit has equipped you with the gifts that are going to be needed for the services and the activities that Jesus is going to call you to. See how this works? Five people in the church may have the exact same gift, right? Same gift. But each one's going to be appointed by the Lord for a different service, a different work using that gift, a different ministry. Let's say you have the teaching gift. Some are going to be called to teach in a classroom. Some are going to be called to teach in a front room. Some are going to be called to teach children. Some are going to be called to teach special needs. Some are going to be great at teaching groups. Some are going to be called to teach one-on-one. Do you see how that gift is then employed by the Lord into different service and ministries? Isn't that wonderful? You start to see how they start to work together. One thing that you need to note, side note, gifts are not given for self-service. That's a good note to put on the side. As you go through all of the sections of on the gifts, you'll find they're not for me. My gifts are for you. And your gifts are for each other. Your gifts are never for yourself. These aren't self-service gifts. The Lord gives us graces. He gives us blessings. He gives us intimate times with him. But these spiritual gifts, everywhere that is written, is for the edification of the body. It's for the building up of one another. So your gift isn't your own. It's to be used. And so the idea is, what types of service are there? Well, we got some categories for gifts, but what type of categories do we have for service? When I say service is ministry's works, what does that list look like? Infinity. It's huge. It's immeasurable. Who knows what the Lord is going to use you to do tomorrow? This afternoon, going through a grocery line, you meet up with another brother or sister in Christ. You can see on their face they're having a rough day. And the Lord moves you to go over and just put your arm around them. And the Lord gives you a word of encouragement. And you see their countenance change. That's a ministry. He called you. That's an appointment that was made. You see, and so you start to see that the types of service are everywhere. So one of the things I wrote out is in serving with hospitality. Let's say this enablement is serving with hospitality, and that's the gift. Someone in the church might be gifted in service with hospitality, appointed, called by the Lord to organize big events for the church. Big potluck game nights. We had a good one last night. If you weren't there, you missed out. A lot of fun we had. Some people are called to have that gift of service, of hospitality, to organize those big events. And those are visible, aren't they? We see them, we're like, wow, that's so great. What's neat is you see that sometimes people have a real talent for organization. They have some real skills in being able to schedule and stay on project. But then you see inside of the talent sometimes that giftedness. They have a gift to serve others. They have this gift in that big group to be able to make every single person feel loved and important and welcomed. It's a good gift. Someone with that same gift might not be able to do the big stuff, but they have home Bible studies. They're hosting home Bible studies, and when people come to their homes in small groups, six or eight, they're able to make them feel like family. They're able to make these bonds one to another. They're able to unify people together so quickly and so easily. They couldn't do the big one, but they certainly can do that one. Some people with the same gift are called, you know, there might be a young man in the church who needs a place to bed down for the night. Just a place of sanctuary, a place of safety, a place to just get away from the world and to just have a room, a bed, that he can just rest. And some people can't do a big, huge party. Some people can't do an intimate Bible study. But you know what? There are some who can open up a room, make breakfast, give a hug, and send them on their way. And the question I have for you is, when you look at those three pictures, right? Three different services for the same gift. Which one's the best? None, right? Which one's better than the others? We can say there's one that's more visible. There's one that maybe takes more work. There's one that maybe takes more money. There's maybe one that takes more patience. But when you start looking at the gift, which one's the best gift? Who's the most gifted of those three? We start to see they're all very beautiful. They're all very well valuable and well utilized in the church. We don't have to be jealous of the one who can do the big events. Because you know what? The one who does the big events probably doesn't want someone in the room. Likes big groups, doesn't like small groups. All beautiful, all valuable. Verse 6. So the gifts are allotted by the same Spirit. The services are appointed by the same Lord. And now verse 6, there's varieties of activities by God. Uh-oh, now we got something else here. Activities, the Greek is energema, empowered, energized. It's the extent of energy that's needed in order to propel the gift, in order to sustain the ministry. Right? It's the amount of energy that's needed to propel the gift. So you start to see that someone may have a gift that's appointed by the Spirit, a ministry that's assigned by the Lord, And yet, at one point, see God's power energize the gift to the heights. And then in another circumstance, barely warmly light the gift just enough for the purpose to be accomplished. What came to me really quickly as I was preparing this, as I can share with you, there are times when I sense the mighty power of God speaking through this pulpit to this church. And there is thunder and there is lightning. And you can see the power of God at work in the hearts of the people. And it's intoxicating. There are times when you can sense that God's word is penetrating and you can just sense the power. It's palpable in the room. I wish it was like that every Sunday. But then there's those times, I'll tell you, quite frequently on a Sunday evening, where there's this warm hand on the back of my shoulder that's just reassuring and comforting and says, teach my word. And there's not thunder and there's not lightning, but there's truth. And he's still working. And he's empowering in the exact way it needs to be empowered, because it's not about me. It's not about what I want. He knows what we need. He knows the timing. He knows which messages need thunder. And he knows which messages need a nice warm fire. And it's beautiful. It's awesome. I'm not any more or any less based on the thunder or the lack of it. Because it's his prerogative, it's his timing, it's his apportionment, it's his enabling, it's his energizing, it's his extent. And when he moves in us, for us as a body, we're all encouraged. Those days when he speaks to you with thunder, trust me when I tell you, he's speaking to me with thunder in the same voice. It's a gift for us. And we're all encouraged and we're all built up. And we're all thankful for him and his work. Because we see his gospel unveiled. We see that he is real. We get a tangible sense that his spirit is at work as we can see it. Do you start to understand? What's happening in Corinth is crazy. When you start to understand gifts this way, no one's going to sit there and say, well, my gift's better than your gift. You're an idiot. You don't know what God's doing. Just because yours is a loud gift and mine's a quiet gift doesn't make yours any better. Just because yours takes a lot of time and mine I can throw together. The Lord has a role and a purpose. He's assigned each one of us something different, something unique. Something more in verse 6 before we move on. Look at what he says there at the end. God empowers them all in everyone. There you go, people. Oh, but Pastor, I don't have any spiritual gifts. Yes, you do. God says you do. All believers are given gifts by the Spirit, service for the Lord, and enablement by God. Yours may not be super visible. It may not be easily identifiable. But as you are obedient to Christ and you love him properly, you will. And you have been given gifts and opportunities and energy to carry out his will for his people. See, that's, as I said earlier, one of the problems is we try and classify our gifts to identify what it is based on the lists and definitions that we find. We're going to see something that we're about to segue into those in just a second. But what it misses is the specific, unique, special charisma that he gave to you. Your very specific charisma, your fingerprints of his divine enablements. They may not fit a classification. I shared this with my youth. I remember when I was a young youth pastor, I didn't know how to go and comfort people that were mourning. I just didn't know how to do it. So I'd always go and try and make them laugh. I always figured that was my gifting. I could make people laugh. And I would go to people's homes and I could make them laugh, but as I left, I know they weren't comforted. For a moment, I went to one's house and I saw one of our older ladies sitting on a couch with the other old lady who had just lost her husband. And they had their two foreheads touching. They were holding hands on the couch with foreheads touching. No words were being spoken. No jokes being made. No scripture being read. No prayers being said. But a divine enablement had come upon one of our women in the church and enabled her in a very special way. By God's appointment, by His timing, in His love, in His way. Ministry. One to another. Categorize that. It's beautiful when we allow ourselves to be open to God's moving in us, to allow His Spirit to minister one to another. Okay. Let's see here. A point here on the side I want you to take home today is that not only are you gifted, you're perfectly gifted. You're uniquely gifted for a specific need that our church has now or might have in the near future. God has equipped you uniquely to fulfill it. You and you alone. There's a responsibility that comes with that, doesn't there? How many of you think that you're here today by accident and that you're part of this body and you're a pew sitter? You're someone who gets to watch worship take place. You get to watch as God builds this church. Wrong. You're a member, a part of this body of Christ, which means you have a very unique gifting. And Jesus, our Lord, has called you to a unique ministry. And our God is going to give you whatever energy you need to fulfill it. We might not know what it is yet, but you should be looking for it. You should be aware of it. You should be ready to give it. How do we do that? We just start asking questions. Lord, how can I love my brothers and sisters better? How can I build them up? You need to let that sink in. Segue into verse 7, I guess. Manifestation, making known or evidence of. You start to see this in verse 7. To each is given this manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Manifestation means to make known. It's the evidence of the Spirit at work in our church. Do you see that this is not a private thing? It's not hidden. It's not for self-service. The gifting is to make evident that the Spirit of God is at work. For the common good, to build up, to bring together. It's interesting, as I look at this verse, I'll share with you, it came to mind. I've been wanting to take these signs and change them out. They've been up there for about 5 or 6 years, and they're starting to creep a little bit. And at Christmas time, I almost took them out. I wanted to put some Christmas signs up. We didn't. And I know why. Because I came to this verse, and what's interesting is all the commentators use these two verses to bring out verse 7. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 7 to 16. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended in the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Long section of scripture there. It says gifts are given, the gifted are appointed and assigned to do what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You start to see that? Every one of us, individual believers, are members of the body of Christ. God has given gifts to every one of us. He's appointed service and ministries to each one of us. He's equipped each one of us for ministry to build up the body in love. This is the common good for which the gifts were given, to build up the church. Gosh, I wanted to go into the list of gifts, but I'm out of time. We'll start verse 8 next week as we get into some of the gifts. Let me come to a close here. The question that I want you to leave with this morning, understanding this, I wanted to draw a picture. If I was a PowerPoint guy, I would have had a PowerPoint chart up today. Jim, maybe you can do this for me. What I pictured in my mind was this circle that says, here's the Holy Spirit who's assigning gifts. And if you come out of that circle, right, if there's kind of like rays coming out of that circle, there's going to be services for those gifts, right? You may have A, C, D, F, G, K, and Z gifts. But there's going to be ministries that the Lord is going to appoint to you from those gifts. But some of them are going to be really long ministries. Some of them are going to be really short ministries. And in those ministries, you've got God who's empowering in those ministries, giving you all of the energy and all of the power you need to sustain each of them. And you start to see it all working together, and you start to see this diagram that this is really cool. And you can start to see the fingerprints that I'm talking about. Wow, I've got this really special mix of gifts. And it might be this gift that there's, you know, there's wisdom along with the ability to teach, along with a kindness and a love, along with a heart for the lost, and an evangelistic tale. And when you put those together, there's a very specific way in which Christ is going to call me to a ministry. And then there's a very unique way that God's going to empower that teaching and those things. You start to see. And each one of you has this diagram. Each one of you has these gifted fingerprints that the living God has placed upon you, that he's given you for use. Too often we get close to it, though. We don't know how to do it. How do I utilize my gifts in the church? You know what's great about it? You don't have to work that hard. Here's the question. How might I be used of God to build up this body of believers? Do you pray that? Is that a sentence that's found in your prayers each night? If it's not, put it in. How might I be used of God to build up this body of believers? Some of you say, I'm too old. Been here too long, helped too much already. Nope. Put it back in. Lord, how might I be used to build us up? He'll talk to you. He'll show you. The opportunities will arise. Easier questions that you might ask. How can we serve one another? How can I build that person up? You know, one of the things is, you know, Johnny Erickson Tata talks about she was paraplegic in church. And so there was this guy, and all she knew was the back of his head, five rows ahead. Right? Some of you know the story. Five rows ahead. She goes, Lord, I'm going to pray for the back of that head. Show me how to minister to that head. And she prayed for him week after week, prayed that the Lord would be working in his life. And she took on this idea of praying for him. Turns out that's the husband that the Lord had appointed for her. Little did she know. Scary things start happening when you start praying. So some of you in the back row, start praying for the heads in the front. Not that you need to get married, but it's one of those things where start praying for the folks around. Look around. We have people in need here. How might I serve the body of Christ with them? With her? With him, with them. Show me, Lord. Use me. I'm willing. The end of this whole section says, as he wills. We spoke the Lord's Prayer earlier. The thing that jumps out at the Lord's Prayer to me every single time is not my will, but your will be done. It's not your will. It's not my will. It's not even our will. It's his will. He wants you to use these gifts to build this church up.